In the latest flurry of bills and nominations and budget plans, four things on Capitol Hill rise to the top of the need-to-know list, according to Larry Allen. He's the president of Allen Federal Business Partners. He writes the Week Ahead newsletter, and he's here to explain what you need to know. What are those four things, and why are they so important, my friend?
Well, Francis, they're important because I think companies believe that since all the ink is now dry on the so-called cromnibus that everybody knows what their budgets are in different federal departments, and that's not the case. So I think it's important to understand that customers don't have their budgets yet. It takes time for Congress to pass things and for OMB to get everything passed down to each individual agency. So you know, one of the things that people need to know is it'll probably be the second or third week of January before people and each department know what their spend is. Their other big thing that I think is important for people to understand is that Congress appropriated money for all agencies except the Department of Homeland Security. Department of Homeland Security got a continuing resolution that funds them through the end of February. And the big difference, Francis, is that means that GHS can't initiate any new projects unless or until they get their own appropriation, so they can just keep things going that they had already started. Last two things I think are important, that even though it's a $1.1 trillion spending bill, that's just not as big as it sounds. Certainly that would be enough for you and I to go and buy our own Caribbean island, but it's not just procurement and contracting. It covers things that every agency has to do besides acquisition, and it's about the same as what agencies had last year. Lastly, it's important to understand, get it done now. Right now, there are a lot of budget people who are predicting, and I'm among them, that FY16 will see a return to sequestration, which means that there'll be a lot of uncertainty after the end of the FY15 fiscal year. So if you've got a plan, you've got things that are important, time is to do what is now.
Why do you expect to see another round of sequester, Larry?
Well, what we're hearing from the administration, Francis, is that they're going to come out with the president's budget sometime around the 1st of February with spending limits that intentionally exceed the agreed-upon caps. And that certainly would be enough for Congress. If Congress implemented that, then they would exceed the sequestration caps and sequestration would kick in. Another reason is that we're going to have a Republican-controlled Congress next year, and a lot of people believe that that's one entity that will be looking for ways to cut spending, spending viewed in some quarters as unnecessary. In some respects, particularly with the DOD budget, Francis, playing a game of national security chicken, because DOD leaders have made it quite clear that they can't sustain another round of sequester and still maintain the systems they need to.
My colleague Jason Miller writes at federalnewsradio.com about comments by Randall Culpepper of the Air Force. He is leading a very detailed review of the concept of lowest price technically acceptable contracting. When you comment about that in the Week Ahead newsletter, but I'm curious overall, is this a good effort in your view, or is this barking up the wrong tree?
No, I think it's a good effort, Francis. In fact, I'm happy that the Department of Defense has tapped the Air Force to take the lead on this. The Air Force has been a big user of low price technically acceptable contracting, so they certainly have a lot of experience with it. This has been a continuing cause of concern in industry, and there seems to be an impression gap, a perception gap, if you will, between DOD leaders who think that, oh, the incidence of LPTA contracting isn't all that great, it's more anecdotal, an industry who says, well, no, we're actually seeing LPTA use in lots of places that you might not be looking. And so I think it's good to undertake this study. There's nothing wrong with LPTA as contracting method, Francis. The problem with LPTA, reverse auctions, time and materials contracting, is that when these things are applied to scenarios that they're ill-suited for, problems develop.
The other item that you're writing about, and I knew that a lot of people read the Week Ahead newsletter, but I didn't have any idea that you had this kind of penetration. You have a reader named Jay from Ashburn who wrote in, "I'm concerned my employer may fire me. I suspect they're committing fraud by putting out a substandard product each week. Is there a way I can make money from blowing the whistle?" What are we learning about whistleblowers like Jay from Ashburn?
Well, one of the big things we're learning, Francis, is that two-thirds of all the money that GSA and the Department of Justice recovered last year through False Claims Act audits was generated by whistleblower complaints. So that's a powerful tool for recovery. And the number one thing that I want people to understand is that means take care of your own people. If you have a disgruntled employee, a disgruntled former employee, there are all kinds of opportunities for them to blow the whistle on you. And even if it's a baseless claim, you're still going to be spending a lot of time and effort, not to mention money, batting it down and taking care of it. So, you know, if you're a whistleblower, you can get between 15 and 25% of any False Claims Act settlement that the government might collect, and that's a pretty good chunk of change. So, you know, people whose 401k isn't performing quite the way they wanted it to, you know, that could be an indicator for them. We had a woman just last week who cleared $300,000 for her role in a whistleblower suit, not enough to retire on, but certainly I think nobody would sneeze at $300,000.
Yeah, I wouldn't turn it down.
So I think the thing there is to understand that any company that's doing business in the federal market should do just a quick online search for False Claims Act actions, and what they'll see are two full pages of plaintiff's bar attorneys who are just waiting to take the case of your disgruntled employee and then make your company's life very, very difficult.